Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show from Belmore Oval. Wendell Saylor, Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, Tony Squires with you. Just 2 hours till kickoff is, of course, the Bulldogs taking on the Titans. Both sides in need of a win. Both of them have gone close. Certainly the Bulldogs have lost a lot of close ones recently, but they do need that win. Gentlemen, lovely to have your company this afternoon as we look out onto a terrific suburban ground on a great Saturday afternoon in Sydney. A bit of a breeze coming up, but still great conditions. And the Jersey flag, Penrith, too good for the Bulldogs, 10-8, close game there, obviously. And in the New South Wales Cup, the Bulldogs 6 lead the Panthers. Now, I noticed that the try was scored by Lachlan Lewis, who I think is Wally's nephew, and is playing a good brand of footy. I don't know, Del, if you've seen him run around before.
No, I haven't actually seen him play.
Lachlan Lewis, there's a name, a very famous name in rugby league. All right,
no pressure on him.
No, exactly. Obviously, this afternoon we are going to catch up with Garth Brennan, the Titans coach. We'll also hear from the Bulldogs coach and so much more. All right, now though, we were talking before about Anthony Watmore. I don't know if you boys heard what Anthony Watmore had to say about Daly Cherry Evans. Now, I know there can be angst among groups of people and amongst players. Now, at the moment, there's a lot of pressure on Daly Cherry Evans at Manly, pressure for him to live up to his marquee status. It's not all his responsibility. But there's been talk from Anthony Watmore in a podcast, Hello Sport podcast. I think Tommy Birmingham might be involved in that as well.
Oh, he is.
About, I don't know, but it's the selfishness that he saw in the young DCE when they were together at Manly. Let's, before we throw it around up here, let's just have a little bit of a listen to what he had to say.
We had a team meeting, so I told Chesa to stay back, and I said, "Mate, you just signed a f***ing 4-year deal." I said, "You turn up to training." And he's not. My manager told me not to. And so I said to him, I said, "Mate, you know what we've sacrificed to stay together, to be successful. Your time will come." And he just looked me straight in the eye and went, "Nah, not turning up." So I just went, "You." So I walked out, went to Tuve, said, "Mate, don't give him any money." I said, "You've got him by the balls. If he doesn't turn up, fine him." And Tuve's just succumbed to the board. Next thing we know, he's up around the $500,000 mark after being on 50 grand.
Wow, there you go. I mean, the first thing you notice about that is the podcast where you can actually let loose there, really. Anthony Watmore. Now, this is obviously an issue, and nobody has... We've known there was some kind of angst, but none of those guys who were around at that time have really said it out loud and quite so specific as that. Is that a tough thing for what's going on at Manly? Trent Barrett has said that he's actually a popular man. Is it going to put added pressure on Daly Cherry Evans?
Oh, look, I think it does, of course, Tony, because as much as it's fish and chip paper, in that it's been in the paper now and it's reared its head and it's come out of left field, and I think it surprised a lot of people in rugby league. I think it does put pressure on the Seagulls irrespective, because Daly's a player who, given the long-term tenure of his deal and the amount of money that he's on, he's always going to have scrutiny, and he's always going to have question marks. And when Manly play well, he gets the raps, especially when he plays strongly. But when things don't go according to plan, then there's going to be questions asked, and I think he's going to have to carry that for the rest of his career while he's at the Seagulls because of the nature of his contract.
I'm with Hoops. Look, mate, you sign those big contracts, the pressure's going to come when you're winning. You know, when they were going all right there for a couple of games there, everyone's going to DCE, you know, he's earning his money. Now they're getting, you know, not getting the wins. He's copping a few boots, and it's easier to sort of have a crack at him. I've never had a problem with Cherry Evans. See, you know, people say, "Oh, he's different and that," but you know, that old school and I suppose that new school, like Chock Watmow and that senior sort of players back then, and the young guys coming. I think him and Foz were like first and second year in, I think, in the premiership players.
Yeah, well, I think what Chock was talking about there is, yeah, I think him and the Stewart boys and a lot of them sort of sacrificed a fair bit of money back in the day to come together, stay together and win premierships. And I think, you know, I mean, that's what you really remember, isn't it, winning premierships?
Yeah, 100%.
And I know the Broncos have sort of done it over time. The thing that I find, I mean, it's really bad advice by your manager. I mean, there's other ways to go about doing things and form eventually. You need to have faith in the fact that, you know, if you play really well and you're successful at a club, and at that time they had a pretty good roster and they went on to win the comp in 2011, well then, and you're a halfback, it's going to come your way. So the advice from a manager should be, mate, like what Chock said, just be patient. It's going to come and you can see what sort of money he's on now. But, you know, even though he was a young man, to follow the instructions of your manager who says in a team environment, you know, you stop turning up to training and not tell him where to go and say, well, you know, it's not just about me. I mean, you know, it's not the players around you's fault that you're not on a good deal. Sometimes that's just the way that it is and you just need to wait it out. But when you're a key part of a team and you've got, you know, 15 or probably 25 other people, including the coaching staff and everyone there, relying on you to turn up and continue to try and make that organisation successful, but you decide just to, you know, stop going to training because of a pay dispute, I don't think it's the right way to go. In an individual sport, I can, you know, if you're going to have a boxing promoted, fight or whatever it may be, it's different. But in a team environment, it's not the way to go.
Does DCE respond to that, or does he just let that go?
I think the best way to respond is to go out and play strong footy. I wouldn't be adding anything further to it. I mean, Tone, we've spoken about this many times over the years. We had Anthony Watmo on our show one day, and I remember asking him
didn't
about
swear
it,
nearly
saying,
as much.
What's the story with you blokes? And, you know, and he confirmed. He said, look, no, we're not in danger of going for a beer. We don't see eye to eye, but we can, you know, coexist and we can play football together. But definitely there's a clear divide, and Anthony Watmo and Glenn Stewart and Brett Stewart are old school style of football players who had a hell of a lot of success and helped build a hell of a lot of success at Brookvale and at the Manly Seagulls, and I'm sure that they sit back and look at the club now and they're bitterly disappointed with where it's at. And I think that part of that and part of the reason that they believe the Seagulls are struggling as much as they are is because of the amount of money that Daly Cherry Evans is being paid and the way that all that contract saga played out. Let's not forget, the other thing that Daly is always going to have attached to him is the stigma of when he backflipped from the Gold Coast Titans. And that left a bad taste in a lot of people in Queensland's mouth. We have seen since then that he hasn't been picked for the Maroons for whatever reason. Every year, Kevy says that there's no issue there and it's nothing personal, but every year we continue to see that even if when he's playing really strong footy, he's not really in the mix that much. So
strong clubs and strong leaders don't get held to ransom by individuals. And I think it's just a real poor sign for your organisation when you've got a young guy, even though he's a talented player coming through, and your organisation gets held to ransom. I mean, the good clubs and the really well-run clubs, and you can see Manly are in this situation at the moment because of, you know, poor administration over years gone, and unfortunately Trent Barrett's there now and he's trying to, you know, do his best. But you just can't have individuals or especially young guys coming in and demanding things with their managers at your club. Otherwise, they become bigger than the club, and then it causes issues with not just the other players, but then it, you know, salary cap and all sorts of things. So,
Wendell Saylor, have you the idea of playing in a team with somebody who you don't get on with at all? Experience?
Oh, look, there's certain people that you probably don't hang out with, and I wouldn't say, you know, you hate certain people, but I remember one time when I was playing rugby union, and I got the team list, and there was a bloke that I didn't really like, so I just went and changed rooms. I didn't tell him, but I said, you're on that room.
What do you mean team list for you were staying together?
And he was in with me, and I just said, mate, you're in the other room. So I've just because I didn't really want to room with him for 2 days.
So. What about the concept of at the Brisbane Broncos? Did you ever take a haircut or take a little bit less to stay with those core group of players, Gordon Tallis and Shane Webke and Brad Thorne and all those places, you, Kevy Walters, Alan Langer, you had a lot of success together. Were players prepared to make a little bit of a sacrifice financially for the sake of the team and for the sake of what you were building?
Yeah, that's what the Broncos were built on those early 90s, and it came from Wayne just saying, you know, stick together. Alf and those guys were great, and that camaraderie, and you did take pay cuts. Man, Alf could have went to different places and stuff, and as a young player coming through, you knew your time had come. So that's what the Broncos culture was about.
15 minutes remaining in this half. New South Wales Cup at Belmore. It is the Bulldogs 6 leading the Panthers 0. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. All thanks to Iveco. Visit your local Iveco dealer to check out the special edition 888 Race Engineering Inspired Daily Light Truck.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
I've just got a couple of things I'd like to put on the stock market in front of your eagle eyes, gentlemen. And one, because it's happening right here in front of our eyes at Belmore this afternoon. Moses Mbai, as we mentioned, will be making his last appearance for the Bulldogs before he transfers to the Tigers. He's already signed a contract for the next 4 years, but he is going to begin the back end of this season. And we talked earlier, Robbie Farah is also one who is in that discussion. Do we like, are you buying, selling or holding the idea that players in the middle of the year can jump from one jersey to the other? Start one game this afternoon in the, one jersey, halftime getting the new one. Do you like it, Gerds?
Yeah, I'll buy, Tone. I haven't heard of anyone come up with a better solution. And two, sometimes I think it's really good for clubs and individual players to get other opportunities. You know, if you've got guys like Robbie Farah, who's, in a position where he's not getting a lot of game time and there's opportunities out of the clubs, I like it if it can be done in the right way. And it's, as I said, I just don't know any other solution. So I'm on board. I'll buy it.
Hoops?
Yeah, I'm buying as well. I think other codes sometimes snigger at the way that rugby league players can transfer from one club to another mid-season, or even the way that a player can sign 12 months or 18 months in advance,
AFL.
A la Ben Hunt,
yep.
With the Red V this season. But look, personally, I like it. We're accustomed to it now. I think rugby league fans are rusted on, and I think it's part of the theatre and part of the excitement surrounding the game. The fans are on board with it, the players are on board with it, and the clubs are on board with it. It's a business, and at times you need to make these decisions. For a club like the West Tigers, how good is it that they're going to have Moses Mbai and possibly Robbie Farah coming into their side midway through the year?
You say the fans are buying into it, though. If it's a player that they know and love in their club, they're not going to be happy, are they? If they see somebody who they're supporting jump out of their Guernsey into somebody else's.
I think for the Bulldogs fans, their club has made it so clear where things went pear-shaped, and the fact that decisions that were made under the previous administration and under the previous head coach have got them in this salary cap jam. And they understand that there's going to be a fair bit of short-term to medium-term pain before they can start to come out the other side.
All right, Wendell Saylor?
Yeah, I'm the same as the boys. And you can tell, too, because if you listen to guys like Aaron Wood speaking and obviously Moses, it is part of that process where, mate, when they get interviewed, they understand they might be at a different club, But even for Aaron Woods, it's different to think that, West Tigers, Canterbury could be at Cronulla, next year.
Yeah, it's a struggle for him, I imagine.
Is that right, Hoops?
They've still got to sharpen the pencil a bit, okay. Cronulla, and they've still got to hit the right monetary figure. So
around $650 or something, is that they want them to pay?
I think the Bulldogs are prepared to chip in around the $200,000 per season mark, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And then Cronulla, the way that Cronulla always like to try and negotiate, they definitely like to try and strike a really good price. And so at the moment, there's still a fair bit of negotiation going on there. Not saying it won't happen, but it's definitely in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment.
So even look at the Bulldogs last week when James Graham's playing against them.
Yep.
They're still paying him, to play against him.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? All right, about during the week, Todd Greenberg said that what many of us had been talking about, whether there's a different style of refereeing from the Origin to the NRL club footy, but he basically said he wanted the referees to back off the whistle a little. He wasn't saying there was any massive change and things, but he didn't want them looking for penalties. I'm still calling that a backflip. Wendell Saylor, you're buying?
Oh, yeah, that's 90.8%, that's a big backflip. but that's, now they've got it right. They were nitpicking, they were just going to, it was ruining a great spectacle. Now they're getting back to something where we won it, especially after we saw an Origin, 4 or 5 penalties, and then they go and blow like 20 penalties, on that Friday night or something. So, yeah, mate, well done. That's what it should be.
Hoops?
Yeah, the frustrating thing with it is, Tane, that I'm all for it. Like, I'm glad that sanity's prevailed and that we're not going to see the pee blown out of the whistle every bloody weekend. But we had half a season and there were a lot of results decided on these interpretations.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden we go, oh, hang on a minute, actually, you know what? Yeah, the crackdown has got excessive and we are going over the top and we are nitpicking. And here we go, the top on the diving board, pirouette, triple pike, backflip, and there we land. So, I think it's – I can understand. If I was a coach and if I was a general manager of a club, I'd be super frustrated.
Right. So it sounds like you're buying, selling and holding all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. I'm confused, yeah, Tane. That's what I am. Exactly. I'm Confucius.
Oh, yeah. When this stock came up on the board, I walked out, Tony. I got absolutely no comment. To change the way we're refereeing a game in round 15... It just makes absolutely no sense at all. But I'm glad that we've gone back to something that we now recognise as rugby league.
But if we have from this commentary box, from various others, from every pulpit around the NRL world, every pulpit.
Oh, yeah, that's the first time. Around, that word's ever been used on Saturday Triple NRL.
please don't use those big words. Say that for you.
Big word. How many letters are there? Six?
Oh, but still.
P-I-T. Five.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. We've been preaching to change. So when they change, you can't go, oh, no, I don't buy in.
Is the pulpit like the lectern? Or what's the pulpit?
It's from your church. If somebody, the preacher stands.
I'm not allowed in church, so yeah.
Really? Have you ever been to church?
Yeah, I grew up in church. And,
did you?
So you want us to buy the fact that, you know, they've identified the
you
problem, they've
it.
Put their hand up,
yes,
and they've done it.
Yes, you wanted it. So you can't go, oh, no, that was wrong because you can't do the mid-season. Mm. We've called for it. Wherever we've called it and somebody's acted on
I like the fact that it's happened, but it just astounds me that in the middle of a season when so many results have already been decided under a completely different set of interpretations that now all of a sudden we shift thinking. If I'm a player or a coach or one of the heavy hitters, you know, running a club, I think they're entitled to, yeah.
Yeah, well, welcome to the NRL, mate.
Yeah. That's
it. What about the other rule that has been brought in at the same time? Mm-hmm. It's the fact that now that, you know, the referee has the autonomy to send players off to the sin bin for foul play on a playmaker. Haven't they always had that?
They have, but the thing...
Haven't they always been able to do that?
Yeah, they have, you're right.
So what's
but the asterisk on it was the playmaker had to stay down, right? So that was the asterisk, which when you actually think about it, you go, well, hang on a minute, so we're encouraging players to lie down, were we? But that was the asterisk on it. They did have the discretion to sin bin previously for a late shot or a cheap shot on a playmaker, but it was dependent on whoever got hit late, be it Jonathan Thurston, be it Nathan Cleary, whoever it was.
So
it was dependent
on them discretion back into it.
Now, all of a sudden, if the referee sees a cheap shot, look, the best example is probably that.
Charlie Gubb the other day should have got 10 in the bin.
Gazeski on Thurston, Gubb the other day on Cleary down at Canberra Stadium. They would have got 10 in the bin, both of them for sure, under this new change to the rule.
Blatant obvious ones because, you know, we've got James Graham and he's going to the line playing a little bit of footy. You've got some forwards. They're not classed as playmakers, I would take it. What if one of those guys are hit late?
I think the referee still has the discretion.
Surely,
to be able
though.
To do that.
What are you discriminating against James Graham for?
Well, why are you using the term playmaker, Tony?
If you're the bloke who's doing the playmaking, you're a playmaker.
Surely. Hang on a second.
What? So you have to have not your position,
so
but brackets playmaker.
Who threw a pass last night for a try is now a playmaker.
But if Charlie Grubb comes in and does the Grubb act
while
him,
he's playmaking,
it's the same penalty.
No, that's a good point, Tony. I'll give you that one, pulpit.
With the no discriminator.
You got me there, Tony. You got
no
me.
Discriminator
right.
Persons.
No, you got me.
Playmaker.
Hang on,
I'm going to stop talking right now around here.
I know.
Because Mark Schwartz, I can't wait to see you rolling down that hill. Mark Schwartz will join us
hand
next
in hand.
To talk the World Cup.
Oh, the beautiful game.
Saturday Triple M NRL.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
What are you scared of, Hoops?
Lots of things, Wendell.
What about you, Gerds?
Oh, us four in this really small box.
Yeah, a little bit to be honest.
Yes, the really small box is at Belmore. We're in the New South Wales Cup. The Bulldogs 10 lead the Panthers 6 on the stroke of halftime as they leave the field. Right now, as we know tonight, a huge night for Australian football. The Socceroos take on France, their first match of the World Cup at Kazan Arena. 8 p.m. this evening, we'll all be watching it. And one man who's, look, he's been there, done that, two World Cups, 2006, 2010. Is he Australia's best ever goalkeeper? Hard to argue. His name is Mark Schwarzer. He joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Very, very well, thank you. Are you pumped? Can't wait to see what happens this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it's first and foremost excited about the World Cup that it's now underway finally. But also, you know, we're on the eve of obviously, well, we're actually hours away from Australia kicking off against France, which is, you know, again, it just makes it real, doesn't it, that Australia is there again, which we deserve to be, and hopefully we can cause an upset.
Yeah, well, I want to get into that in some detail with you. Just, of course, there are a few other teams playing in the World Cup and a few other big names that you might have caught up with overnight. I know that Ronaldo for Portugal, a hat-trick in that amazing 3-3 draw with Spain. As a goalkeeper, that final, the free kick for his third one, but top right corner, just impossible. How would that have felt for the goalkeeper?
Yeah, I felt for him, in the sense that, yeah, no chance. I mean, Ronaldo is obviously renowned for being able to score a free kick almost from anywhere, and the way he took it over around, curled around and over the wall, it just gave De Gea in the goal for Spain absolutely no chance.
Mark, Ryan Girdler, mate, great to chat. Exciting time, as you said. We've got a new coach as well. Have you seen much in the lead-up games that makes you think that tactically we're going to go in with a different style for this World Cup?
Yeah, very much so. I think we're a team now that is a little bit more flexible in the way we play. We're not rigid. We're not stuck to one sort of system. You know, we're a team now that we look to I think more so consolidate, sit back a little bit more at times, and be really difficult to play through or around. But we've also got the speed in, say, players like Lecky, Naboot, Robbie Cruz, and then obviously you've got the creativity of Rodgers, who's able to get forward. So, you know, we're primed and ready to hit teams on the counter very, very quickly, but also we're not afraid to go on the front foot and close teams down further up the pitch. So it's very different to what it was like under the previous manager, who was all about possession and trying to play, you know, through teams and around teams. I think we play more to our strengths now.
What about, Mark, tell us a little bit about who you think are going to be the next generation stars that really stamp themselves as players of the future for the Socceroos at this tournament?
Well, I mean, I look at Daniel Azani. You know, he's a great young prospect. You know, it's fantastic that he's at the World Cup. You know, he's had such a rise from in the A-League to becoming a regular for Melbourne City towards the end of the season. And I think, you know, he rightly deserves to be part of that squad at the World Cup. He can, you know, he's got something completely different. He's really skillful. There's an unknown about him. There's a rawness, and almost a naivety, which is a great thing to have going into a World Cup. And then probably the one player, when I was in Turkey watching them with Optus Sport, I noticed Andrew Naboot. He just stood out head and shoulders above everyone else. Just that rawness, that power, you know, that pace that he possesses as well. And he's got a great strike on him. He showed it in the qualifier in the friendly leading up to the World Cup against Hungary.
Mate, what makes Timmy Cahill just keep on, mate? What is it about him?
Well, his professionalism first and foremost. You know, he's incredibly dedicated. You know, he's got that hunger to succeed. And like most athletes, as you guys will know, you know, is that you love proving people wrong as well. You'll come across times where people write you off, and Timmy's fantastic at dusting himself off and just, you know, that big smile of his, proving everyone right again, everyone wrong again.
Yeah.
Now, there is being a changing of the guard, really, isn't there, with manager Van Marwijk. He's decided that Mile Jedinak, the captain, will start off the bench. Looks like Trent Sainsbury will wear the armband for the captaincy. That steadying rock-like presence of Jedinak in the middle has been so important for the Socceroos over the years. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it would be somewhat of a surprise. you know, we saw the game against Hungary where Mille came on in the second half, and you know, he made a massive difference. Just creating that stability in midfield, the experience that he possesses, and also the simplicity of his game. I think that's when he plays actually his best, believe it or not. You know, when he's able to break down play, get the ball, and just look for a more of a direct pass at times. You know, he showed that when he came back and played in the qualifiers against Honduras, how important he was for the Socceroos. And I thought those two games were, you know, he scored obviously a hat trick in the qualifier at home that ultimately got us to the World Cup. But the first game away was where I thought he was outstanding.
Well, the boys will be tested tonight, coming up against the favoured French outfit. What have you made of their preparation, and how do you think we'll go tonight?
Well, I mean, the French, I think, are a team that at the moment are sort of underperformed. They're under huge amounts of pressure because they're regarded as one of the favourites. When you've got the likes of Griezmann in your side, who's, you know, at the top of his game, Mbappe, who, exciting, very exciting young player at PSG. And then there's a whole list of world-class players. N'Golo Kante in midfield, I regard him as one of the best holding midfielders in the game. So, you know, they're going to be tough. They're going to be really tough. And, you know, they're going to go in with a little bit of arrogance. I mean, Griezmann's already said he only knows two or three players in the Aussie team. And the fact that he thinks that, you know, we're only physical because we're not technical enough. So, you know, that's already started. And you expect that as well from these guys because, you know, they are used to just winning games. And the expectations that they carry on their shoulders is huge.
Yeah, my 8-year-old son came home from school crying yesterday because somebody had stolen his Paul Pogba top MasterCard, and so not happy at all. He will, of course, be barracking for the Socceroos this evening. Matthew Leckie had mentioned that physical nature. Perhaps they would be a little bit more physical. In your day, there were plenty of guys who put it up to the opposition, obviously not hacking them down, but just making their presence felt.
Yeah, well, I think it's part and parcel of the game. You know, I think you need that bit of physical contact, and sometimes it's a great way to start the game off when you get in people's faces, you let them know that you're in the game, and you see if they're up for it. I mean, there's a lot of players these days who don't like to have that physical contact, I think, why not? I think you see it time and time again. Teams come up against really well, you know, good ball playing sides, and when you get in their face and try and knock them off the game, often, you know, you can be successful at doing so.
Cannot wait for it. Mark Schwartz, thank you so much for having a chat with us this afternoon.
Yeah, you can catch Mark on Optus Sport. It's the only place to watch all 64 matches of the 2018 FIFA World Cup, and you can download the app now. It's going to be great, boys. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, will be terrific. Catch like France, me. Maybe a little bit physical, get better. Well, a draw would probably do us, and then think about maybe rolling Denmark or Peru. Planning to come. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We are at Belmore Oval, the Titans taking on the Bulldogs, and great pleasure to welcome to the studio Garth Brennan, the coach of the Titans. Welcome. You leave Sydney.
He's tanned, isn't he?
I know. He leaves Sydney. Listen to this. He leaves Sydney, and he's in the Gold Coast for 5 minutes, comes back and says, geez, it's cold.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, guys, how you going? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's a bit chilly, isn't it? How quick you forget.
You enjoying yourself up there?
Yeah, love it. It's a fantastic lifestyle. The people have been really welcoming up there and welcome my wife and my kids up there, which has been great. And they've settled in really well, which is a big thing for me. You know, I'm busy and I'm working, you know, 7 days a week and long hours, whereas, you know, the wife and the kids, you know, it's important that they're settled as well. And, you know, the kids are settling real well. The wife's not working at the moment. She's probably getting to the point where she needs to get out and start doing something. She's not listening. She's up in Queensland, so she can't hear this.
We're going into Gold Coast as well.
She'll be a kid's sport. She's a solicitor by trade, and she's got her own law firm back in Newcastle where she used to be. So she was pretty busy herself.
See, I would have said a solicitor by profession, then by trade, but still.
Yeah, one of the two. You know, so she's always worked and you know, had her own independence, I suppose. So she's missing that, but I'm sure she's looking to get into it shortly anyway. So
we spoke about how you've fitted in to the community up there, but what about in relation to the role? We know that assistant coaching is such a different gig than head coaching because you've got all the other stuff, the marketing and the interviews and that side of it, and you've been hands-on with the footy for such a long period of time. How are you dealing with the other side of being a head coach?
Yeah, it's demanding goods. You know, there's no doubt about that. You know, it's probably the media demands and the sponsors and that sort of stuff is something, you know, it's sort of overwhelmed me a little bit. Yep. You know, and for me personally, I want to be open to the media and because it's the fans we're talking to. So I try to give myself up as much as I can, so, you know, so the fans are knowing what's going on in the Gold Coast Titans. But I'm really enjoying it. I've got really good support around me, both with our football staff and with our
delegation. I mean, and what about for someone like you that's just been so hands-on with the footy and you know, coming up with the game plans and breaking down defence and doing all that sort of stuff, do you find you've still got the time for that element of the component of the job, or do you hand that off and delegate?
No, that's my bread and butter, you know. At the end of the day, I live and die by the results, so it's my neck on the line. So, no, and I've always been a little bit of a control freak in that area of the stuff, so, and it's something I enjoy doing. I love it,
yeah.
You know, and so that's something that always takes priority. But I do have some good assistants in Luke Burt. You know, Bertie's doing a really good job coming on board as an assistant this year, and Craig Hodges, who was there previously as an assistant and been in the Broncos system with Wayne. So I got some good support around me, but predominantly I'm pretty hands on. That's my number one priority, and you know, I just do long hours, mate.
Yeah.
Mate, speaking of some of your players, mate, Keegan Hipgrave, mate, I like him. There's something about him. He's got so much energy. Yeah. How do you go talking to him about
playing? Has he got three sin binnings in?
Yeah. He's just a talent, isn't he? He's just a goer.
He is, you know. He's got those crazy eyes, you know.
Yeah.
And he's a lovely kid, you know, off the field. And when he gets on there, he's just a super competitor. And everything's 100 miles an hour with him. You know, I think he's played 11 games and be suspended three times and two sin bins.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But he's a guy that the players love having around him because you know he's going to just rip in and put his body on the line. He's not a big guy.
No, he's not. No.
And but you know what you get with Keegan. He's 100 miles now. Just got to try and, you know, find that, you know,
balance.
Medium. Yeah, that
yeah.
Balance.
Garth, what about another one of your players, Ryan James? Today he was close to New South Wales State of Origin selection last time. Do you think if he goes out and holds his hands up against Aaron Woods and David Clemmer that the Blues will go with him for State of Origin too?
I hope so, Hoops. You know, there's not much more he can do. And I've said that last week. On the back of his effort last week, 80-minute performance was enormous, you know. And, you know, he's a great guy. And I heard Freddie talk about that he's a student of the game, and he is. He's a real smart footballer, and he knows his stuff. And I know he's been knocking on the door for so long. He's so determined and so passionate about the New South Wales Blues. And look, I've got no doubt if he gets his opportunity, he'll do the job for him. And hopefully, you know, it's a good challenge for him today out here against Clem, you know, and Woods, both Australian and national front rowers. So, you know, I'm sure he'll go out there and he'll embrace the challenge. And he needs to this weekend with no Jared Wallace. So it's a good chance for him to really step up.
Garth, the role, it's part coach, part parenting, isn't it, what you do? And your record has been people have wanted to be around you and play for you. Names like, and when the story of Bryce Cartwright this year, he's on your reserves at the moment. How is he, and how have you coped with that kind of difficulty he's seemed to have had this season?
Yeah, no, Bryce was always a project. You know, on the back of what he's done, had, you know, off-field stuff over the last 12, 18 months that everyone knows about, it's been well documented. You know, it was always a little bit of a project this year to come up there and get him back loving footy and getting his head back on where it needs to be. And, you know, it's still something I'm working very closely with. And, yeah, I am close with my players and I am very protective. And, you know, I have protected Bryce at times, you know, when from some criticism. But I've also come out and, you know, criticised him myself and backed up Michael Ennis when he had a bit to say about Bryce. Because what Mickey was saying was true. You know, he was not putting his body on the line and really committing to the team. And you have to have that in rugby league. It's a team sport. And if you lose your players around you, then you're in all sorts of trouble. But he hasn't got that. The players also around him still believe in him. He's working really hard at training, and the boys see that. And I think that's what earns the players respect, knowing how hard he's working. He's not up there just bludgeoning and just living up the lifestyle. He's actually working really hard off the field. I've spoken to him, you know, one-on-one a lot, and he's very determined to get his career back on track. It's just a case of down on confidence, you know, and the only way he's going to get that is if, you know, he goes back and gets some confidence playing. He's playing for Tweed today, so goes back, gets some confidence. We all know the ability that Bryce Cartwright's got. He wants to do it. It's just got to get back to that confidence that, you know, if we keep working with him, I'm sure he'll get it back at some stage.
Seems like you found a six finally. I mean, you've played with AJ now for probably, what, about 5 or 6 weeks, and seems to be getting better on a weekly basis. You happy with the way that he's progressing?
Yeah, I am, Gerds. You know, because I've come through a development systems with players in the past, I was very, very conscious of not blooding him too early. You know, and I did want to throw him in too early in the year, and there was calls to, you know, give Brimson a go, but I just held back because I wanted to get him more game against men in the Queensland Cup, and I watched him very closely. He's brave. He's willing to put his body in front of, you know, some big guys. Sam Burgess was coming at him a bit last week, and he just kept standing up, and he's got that determination. He's got a bit of confidence about him too, Gerds, and you need that in a good half. They need to be confident. They need to have a bit cocky. I wouldn't say he's cocky, but he's certainly confident. He's got plenty of confidence, and I just wanted to, you know, blood him at the right time. And you know, I threw him in against Melbourne, a doubleheader at Lang Park, and he handled that really well. So, look, he's just getting better and better each week, so I'm really excited about where he can go. I think down the track he could possibly be a really good one as well, Gerds.
Oh, yeah?
Because he's a really good runner, but at the moment he's doing a really good job for us as a six.
Garth, you've shown you're not afraid to make some tough decisions. I think you got nearly $1.5 million worth of NRL talent playing in reserve grade at the moment. We touched on Bryce Cartwright, then you got Leilani Latu, then you got Kane Elgee, and then you got Connie Hurrell. What message are you sending to those blokes, and what message are you also sending to the rest of the players playing in NRL?
Well, it's a little bit of about hoops. It's, I don't care what you've done or who you are and what you know, how much money you're on. If you're not performing, you won't be in the football team. And that's, you know, that's why with Bryce, you know, like, you know, I'm very well documented the relationship we've had over the years. But, you know, if he's not performing, you know, and he's not doing the right thing by the players around him and letting the players who he's playing with down, then he needs to go back and get some confidence and get some form. And, you know, when someone goes back, someone else jumps up and takes their spot, you know. And, you know, AJ's done shown that with Kane Elgee. You know, Elgee's gone back and playing tweak up. AJ's got his opportunity and grabbed it with both hands and killing it. And it's just, I'll reward whoever wants to put their hands up. It's a year this year that it's about building and trying to get a winning culture into this football team and trying to get a team to learn how to win. And, you know, it's important not just to go with guys because of their pay slip. It's important that I go with guys who are going to perform.
Do you get nervous, though, given it's your first year as a head coach? And as we know, NRL head coaching, there's no more high-pressure job.
Yeah, there is, you know, but at the end of the day, I can't put bias towards players or because players are on a high pay packet and pick them because of that, because it's like you said, it's my job on the line. I've got to put players that are going to perform, and sometimes it's the wake-up call that the players need. You know, I did my grounding under Ivan Cleary, and I mean, if you remember back to Penrith in those early years, Ivan wasn't afraid to pull the trigger on a few of those players and put them back to New South Wales Cup for Windsor, and, you know, he got the results and he did it right, and I've learned a lot from Ivan. He's someone that I've always, you know, looked up to and a bit of a mentor for me. And he was willing to make those big calls at Penrith, and it's worked. And I'm willing to do those up the Gold Coast as well.
Mate, have you seen, like, you know, the rule changes the rest interpretation? Does it make it hard when you're going one way and then all of a sudden Todd Greenberg's saying stop the nitpicking?
Oh, I think it's the right move, but
yeah,
Bill,
I agree. Yeah,
you know, I think. I mean, everyone looked at Origin the other night, and, you know, when Todd and Bernard Sutton come out and said, we're going to ref Origin like we're going to referee an NRL game and how it's been ref this year, I think everyone's gone, oh, no, you can't, you know. And, you know, and they didn't, which was great, and Origin was a great spectacle, but we can't ruin our week-in, week-out spectacle. You know, that's what the fans come to watch. And, you know, I think it's some sanity's prevailed, hopefully, and we can get back and seeing some free-flowing footy and not the nitpicking. You know, if you're going to look for... You're going to look for penalties, you're going to find them.
Yep.
And if you're going to look for penalties, you're going to find sin bins. That's the result.
Yep.
We don't want to watch 12 and 11 players play. We want to watch 13 play. So it's important that we work with the referees, but we try and we play some footy as well.
We're talking to Gold Coast Titans coach Garth Brennan. We really appreciate your time on game day. The Gold Coast as a venue for the NRL. Obviously in the AFL, there's been some struggles there with the Gold Coast Suns. When these things happen, people talk about as a transient population, it's difficult to get something that works and is steady there. What's your gut feel? You've arrived there in this place. It's a football area. Is it going to succeed?
Yeah, I really think it is. You know, it's... You know, we average around 11, 12,000 people a week to our crowds, our home grounds, and there's not too many clubs that actually do that. If you go through the figures, you know, 11, 12,000 average crowds, a good crowd in the NRL, you know. So there's people there that come. Your winning helps,
yep.
You know. It's like Aussies love a winner.
Of course.
You know, and that's a big, big factor, you know. But what I've found is there's a real vibe up at the Gold Coast at the moment. The new owners, Rebecca Frizzell and Daryl Kelly, are Gold Coast people. They're well respected in the area. So the sponsors are starting to get back involved because the club's starting to have some credibility about it.
Yep.
And I've been very passionate about, you know, our development area up there. There's 6,000 juniors up there, and, you know, that's what I know, development, with, you know, with my time at Newcastle and Penrith. And, you know, Del knows, from up Queensland way, knows how many the juniors that are on the Gold Coast and how many are playing around in other NRL clubs. And, you know, in the past, the Titans have lost them because they haven't shown the passion and the desire and the interest in keeping those kids on the coast. But that's certainly my portfolio. That's what I'm really determined to make sure happen. And we've got some really things that are going to be announced in the near future as far as the development pathways of the Gold Coast Titans. It's going to be really exciting for the community.
All right, and you have a win this afternoon?
It'd be nice.
You better go for a massage, mate. It's getting close to game time.
More like a bit of meditation is more like a
game. Oh, really? Yeah. You've been with Freddie.
Been with Freddie for long. Yeah.
I saw the players with their shoes off just soaking up the minerals out there from the
ground. It's working.
It is working.
Mate,
it
what
is.
I do like also is you've got guys like Conrad Harrell and Nathan Peets. You know, they keep it pretty fun off the field too, don't they?
They do, you know, and it's good. You know, there's a really good mix. There's no dickheads, Will.
Yeah.
Wendell, you know?
Oh, mate, I wouldn't be able to play for you then.
No, we've got a really good a crop of guys, a bit of experience, and a lot of young guys too, and we've got some good experience in Nathan Peets, and Michael Gordon's been a great pickup for us this year. You know, Flash has been around a few clubs, and, you know, he's a real good leader. He keeps the young guys grounded, and, you know, like I said, we've got a real good culture there. There is no dickheads, and they, you know, they're very determined to turn this club around. You know, there's been some tough years, and it's still a lot of work to be done. You know, but we've shown this year that we're more than competitive. We've been in the fight. You know, against Melbourne and the Roosters were outstanding for the first 40 minutes. But these young guys got to learn how to put 80 together and learn how to win.
All right, look forward to seeing that happen right in front of us this afternoon, Garth Brennan. Great pleasure. Thank you so much for giving your time on game day.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, pleasure.
Saturday Triple M NRL.
The Triple M NRL play of the day.
The old man, Tulmarshishek splits them. He runs straight down the middle. Oh, and there he comes! Morgan inside out! Wow. An outrageous try by Roger Tulmarshishek!
Thanks to CC's. Footy and CC's, you can't say no to that. Just say CC's.
Our play of the day, all thanks to CC's, and it was a beauty. I thought of you, Gerds, immediately. I knew how much you were in love with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. If you could be anyone, you said a couple of seasons ago, it would be Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. That sidestep.
Breaking ankles.
Absolutely
sensational. Yeah, or tearing biceps, whatever you want to say. But, it was incredible in the first half. They got a bit lucky last night. The Cowboys just couldn't finish off after they sort of got back into the game. But Tuivasa-Sheck's influence in that first half was a real good captain's knock.
Quite amazing. Okay, we've got plenty to come. Kickoff at 3 o'clock. Of course, Anthony Maroon will do the calling. But Peter Sterling will join us as we look at this game and all else that's going on in the NRL on Saturday, Triple M NRL.